And this is Sega.
And you're listening to Access and Gaming, the podcast.
Good morning to everybody right now. It's a lovely, was it Tuesday morning? Yeah, Tuesday morning. And some interesting news. Coronavirus, gaming, Call of Duty, and got some interesting numbers for you on that coronavirus as far as the U.S. goes. Yeah, we got over 700 cases.
Official cases. Of the 700 cases, there are 27.
I believe.
27 official deaths.
Yeah.
In the U.S. Mm-hmm. From the coronavirus. So, people, the biggest thing for the coronavirus, the biggest thing to combat any illness, any ailment, is to not be dirty.
Right.
Don't be dirty. If you got a neighbor that's dirty, move. If you got a friend you know that's dirty, don't invite them over to your crib.
Right now they're doing a whole lot of, what's that shit called?
Quarantine.
Yeah, self-quarantining, then, what's the word? Cutting down a whole lot of social contact.
Yeah.
Jobs working from home.
There's a lot of jobs working from home. It hasn't really moved too much to the U.S., but definitely in places where it's really impacted a lot of people, such as Asia, China, those places, South Korea, North Korea. They're doing a lot of free online schooling. Not only that, they're doing working. People, because you have to think, people over there have families. They still have to make money. Bills still need to be paid. So a lot of places are doing a lot of online work. Mm-hmm. My parents are doing that. A lot of kids are going to online class because, you know, the best, if the problem is contact, then it's obvious that, you know, the reasons why you would leave the house should be, you know, minimized to being in the house. If that means that they have to make sure people have online access to going to work, all right. If they have to make sure that people have online access to going to public school, all right, that's stuff they're going to do. Now, if this crisis would have started in America, I honestly don't know what we would have done.
Would have been a whole lot more dead.
Yeah, I don't think I don't even know. If someone knows, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we have a surplus of online classes for real, especially for kids.
I have K through 12 is one,
and probably a couple others, but I don't know of any like super.
Super online heavy courses. I don't know either. Yeah. When I did it, my online classes, it only took me like 2 or 3 weeks to get my high school diploma.
Yeah, so I definitely think for us, we definitely need to beef up working online. Definitely need to beef up online classes. And I think our issue is gonna be that there's a lot of people that go to charter schools or paid schools as a kid.
Yep.
So I don't know how that's going to affect their curriculum or affect their classes, because public schools, and that also goes for public schools, because public schools don't really get a lot of money. I mean, they do get the city tax and stuff.
They get what they need, you know, what type of thing.
So it really just boils down to what we deem necessary, and I hope we deem the public health and public society necessary, and we'll do the things necessary to make sure that the public stays in good health.
Yeah.
And makes decent moves.
Other neighboring states from New York has already taken precautions as far as limiting down social
contact.
Yes, like washing your hands, wearing masks,
wearing gloves. Certain places are wearing gloves. I know a lot of people were really harsh on restaurants not wearing gloves, but there are a lot of places that aren't even restaurants that require you to wear gloves now. Yeah. You know,
Japan's kind of getting big on it.
Yeah, it's at the point where restaurants are handing out gloves, convenience stores are handing out gloves with, or not gloves, but masks with your purchase. Like, everybody is doing this for free because a lot of the stores that you would get masks from are unfortunately sold out, which is not a surprise due to the situation.
Yeah, this Nobita from Japan, he gave us like on his his experience right now on the COVID-19. I don't think he's infected, but as far as what's going on and stuff like that, wearing masks, giving out masks for free, stuff like that, helping out each other. What are they doing at school? For like all the food that's been going away with school meals.
Yeah, they're actually bringing it back to the public. So since
at a way cheaper discount,
it's a very logical thing to do in a society of with a large group of people.
Mm-hmm.
So as you know, if you've been listening to our podcast, or even if you've been paying attention to the news, you would know that a lot of schools in Asia, Japan, and all those Asian countries, a lot of the schools over there have been shut down due to the coronavirus, meaning that a lot of kids that go to public schools aren't allowed to attend. So what they're doing, since all those schools are closed for the time being, they took it upon themselves to say, all the food that usually goes to the schools to provide lunches for said children are now being pushed back to the public at a discount rate so that that food can also be eaten. And if you think about it, it's pretty logical because...
It's pretty responsible,
too. It's very responsible because who wants to get all that... Like, that's a lot of food that you're... That would go to waste if you don't use it. So they're like, the best thing to do is put it back to the public. It's still going to get eaten by the same people. And it's cheaper now, which means it's probably going to be taken up a lot more, you know, even by somebody who may not make the most amount of money could probably still be able to go there and get themselves a meal. A lot of vegetables are on sale, which is really good. I noticed that they had a lot of green vegetables, a lot of foods that help the immune system are on sale. Yeah. And I don't know if that was purposeful or not, but the way that they made it work, I think, is definitely going to be beneficial to anyone that lives in or around Japan, whether you're Asian, American, whatever. If you live in Japan, definitely keep a good eye out for any green vegetables. That's cabbage, green onions, greens itself, anything green, peppers, what have you. So definitely keep a lookout for that. Definitely pass it on. I'm not saying that it will help the coronavirus. We don't know yet. I'm saying that that's their way of combating the situation, is building up the immune system. So I would say to anyone over here, definitely try to build up your immune system. Make sure you get greens in your body. Whether you eat them in a salad, whether you eat them sauteed, whether you pick them from your garden, make sure you get some type of vegetable in your body to help your immune system. Make sure you have a lot of vitamin C in your system. And that doesn't just mean drinking orange juice. There's plenty of ways to get vitamin C outside of orange juice, and I'm pretty sure if you do your research, you'll find those out. I don't know those off the top of my head. So definitely look out for ways to help your immune system, because at the end of the day, if you don't have a good enough immune system, anything can attack your body. But if you make sure you're taking care of your hygiene, as well as what you put inside your body, that means taking a day vitamin. You know, there's a lot of us, unfortunately, that even as adults, we're deficient in certain vitamins. Even myself, I'm deficient in iron. So I have to take iron pills, or I have to take something that has iron in it.
Yep.
So definitely look out for vitamins. Look, and not dietary vitamins. No, we're looking for supplemental vitamins, things that actually have herbs in them. Not shit that you can't pronounce, like a sediment, like stuff that you can pronounce. Go to your local GNC, go to your local herbalist, and see what type of vitamins you can have that can combat and help build up your immune system if you know that you may have a weaker immune system or your immune system isn't as strong. This is definitely going out to a lot of older people as well. If you have older people in your family, definitely go out of your way to make sure that they're good. Even if you go over there and just to check on them, say how they're doing. This coronavirus is rapid fire. It's moving around quickly, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be slowing down anytime soon. So we have to do everything we can do in our power to make sure that our loved ones are safe. The ones that we know may not be able to combat it as well as the next person.
I just thought about this for the proper name for like the morning show that we can have you do. Wake up and bounce.
Wake up and bounce. Okay.
Plays on word.
But yeah, definitely. Look out for your elders, your grandparents, maybe your older your elderly neighbor or whatever, what have you. Go ahead, check on them. Drop them off some face masks. You know what I mean? Like, do stuff for people that you know may not have access to maybe getting outside to go get it. Maybe if they have trouble walking, or if they're not even allowed to go outside. You don't know. but just be neighborly is all I'm saying. You know, if we're out here acting like anybody that seizes on you is trying to kill you, it's not going to help us. So the best way to help the situation is be neighborly, be friendly, be helpful to your fellow man. If you see someone that maybe is, you know can't afford to get masks or doesn't have the capability, or you have a surplus of masks in your house and maybe they ran out, give them some masks. You know, just be friendly, be neighborly, be helpful, because for us to be in a society, and this is like a, this is a big attack. You have to be reminded, Asia is a very big country. And in that country, there are close to 100,000 open cases. And of those 100,000 open cases, close to 3,000 people died. And that's just off of stuff I remember from the last time we did an actual statement regarding how many deaths and how many open cases there were. So it could have risen, it could have dropped. But what I'm saying is, what Asia is doing right now is showing that even in the face of something like this, they can still be a decent society, can still be decent to each other. Handing children out masks, giving people masks for completely free of charge, making fucking masks from hand. Obviously wearing gloves, but by hand, to give to people who may not have a mask, who may have ran out of masks, who probably went to the store and the store was sold out. They were literally showing stores that had racks where masks should have been that are completely barren. So be neighborly is really what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Just be nice to people, help them out if they're in need, because if we don't, we're gonna drown in our own negativity.
What one guy said? Booty fingers.
Yeah, booty fingers. Try not to refrain from shaking hands. You know, nod, bow, show them that you acknowledge them, but do not put your hand out. Shaking hands right now is definitely a touchy situation, just because you never know who or who has not washed their hands.
Exactly.
And don't get me wrong, I'm usually a nice person, but
can't be discriminated against.
It's 2020.
People got it over here.
I'm not touching your hand. I don't care who you are. All right. Well, I know you wash your booty, stupid.
Give me some of these booty fingers.
No, booty socks. But I mean, like, in general, like, I'm not going to be touching no strangers. I don't care if you're the president of the United States. I'm not shaking your motherfucking hand. You know, it's a very hard thing to do. It's a very hard thing to get around, and you have to get used to
the new
lifestyle. Unfortunately, until we figure out how to combat it completely, this is kind of going to be the new norm for a while.
I will say this: we're definitely handling this pretty well, as far as like, as a people goes on this planet. We're not going around purging people and blaming this on like sinners and God and crazy shit. Now, we're handling this pretty fucking well.
I mean, I can't say we're handling it well, but we're handling it a lot better than we could have, than usual.
Handling it better than the rest of the
The plague. Like, we're handling a lot better than the plague was handled. I'll say that. But I will say, shame on those people who are treating Asian people in America differently just because of the coronavirus, just because it may have originated in Asia or in the Asian demographic. Do not be racist to Asian people. You know what I mean?
Like,
here's the thing. Anybody can get the coronavirus. You've already seen that. The coronavirus is non-discriminatory. That means
just like bullets.
Right. So you have no right to discriminate against someone who was Asian because you're afraid they may have the coronavirus. If they're not wearing a mask, if they're not looking in a way that may give you an idea that they may have a coronavirus, aside from the fact that they are Asian, do not be a dick. Don't be a dick. That's uncalled for. It really is. Like, it's unnecessary. And it actually makes us look like bigger assholes than we really are. If you want to walk around and be proud to say that you're not racist and you love people for who they are, not for how they look, but you're the first person not to be like, oh, you're Asian, don't touch me. You, sir, are being racist. I will not call you a racist, but you are being racist.
I can't wait for the guy who was sick. I mean, who like said that shit to an Asian, oh, don't touch me. Go like this, like, and like fucking a whole fucking weirdo to an Asian. Then like the next day, in like the next week, he gets the coronavirus and he's like, I got it from the Asian. Bro, you stay in the suburbs and your whole street is just white. How? how? When I go to Fresh, was it Fresh Times or any type of Whole Foods? Barely see any of them in there. But,
So don't just be funny. A dick to Asian people.
It's real fucking funny.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm pretty sure they're going through a lot. You never know what any Asian person you run into. You don't even know. What if their family all isn't here? What if they're, you know, one of probably a first generation American person? Like, maybe they sent their kid to America or whatever. So you don't know where they're coming from, and you don't know how that's going to affect them when you say that, you know? So please just be cognizant of people's fucking feelings. Be considerate. Like, don't be a walking dickhead. Like,
be a douche.
Because you never know what could happen next. What if there's something that affects mostly Caucasian people? Do we have the right to be like, oh, you're white, don't touch me? Think about that. Because then how the fuck are you going to feel? Like, that's not fair to... Yeah, so it's not fair to everybody else either.
Back in them weirdo days, people thought we were, because you were black, you were dirty. And it was like, if you're black, you're a sinner. If you're black, you're cursed, but... That's neither here nor there. That's what, like...
Oh, in the Mormon religion, black people are demon spawns of Cain.
Yeah. I remember that shit. I thought that shit was dumb as fuck.
Anyways, yeah. Moving forward.
So, in gaming news, Call of Duty has went ahead and thrown their hat into the Battle Royale game. And it launched today. And I haven't played it yet because I got work to do and shit. And I already had to update my Division 2 game because I went out and I decided to spend my money on Division 2 Ultimate Edition on the PS4 and the PC. Don't get it twisted. I ain't paid full price for that bitch. That bitch was on sale. That bitch was $20 out of $120. I'd rather pay my $40 and keep it even. If you try to play, it's like $3 right now. $3 at fucking GameStop. Bro, look through your couch and get that money. And Division's not even a bad game.
It's not.
It's less bullet spongy than the first one. And I honestly think it's a bit cooler. You still get to go back to the New York. I honestly do miss the snow from New York. I like it. I don't know what it is about me and snow, but I think it's my Skyrim effect because it always snows in Skyrim. But anyways, yeah, so like I go ahead and I look at this. I wonder on how well it's going to do. People say, oh, it could go ahead and kill Fortnite. I don't know. Now
I don't know. It's kind of a hard thing to top.
Like, numbers I'm not can a say fan something, of Fortnite. Numbers ain't always current.
I'm not a fan of Fortnite. Don't get me wrong. I will never play Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
Ever again. But yeah, what I will say is that Fortnite has dominated the Battle Royale realm for quite some time. Yep. Now, I'm not saying that's been the only game in the Battle Royale realm. What I'm saying is they have dominated that realm since the game has dropped.
Yeah.
Okay, there has been, I'm pretty sure there's been a plethora of other Battle Royale games, but the front face for Battle Royale has been Fortnite since that game dropped. So yeah. It's kind of hard for, now I understand Call of Duty does have a rapport for, what is it, first person shooter?
Yes, that's all they do.
Yeah, so first person shooter game, and they have dominated that realm as well.
They do pretty good. Like, as far as esports go, like, the newest and the latest and the greatest Call of Duty is what you want to play.
Yeah.
Even though my favorite would have to be Advanced Warfare.
I don't care for either.
People hate Ghosts and people hate Advanced Warfare. Oh, it's so fake. Like, that's the only reason why I don't like it. Other than, like, Ghosts can be real.
Yeah, I don't prefer any of the games, but I don't think Call of Duty... Now,
your looter shooters.
I do like my looter shooters. So I think Call of Duty took a very risky step, dropping their hat into a free-to-play Battle Royale game, almost similar to Fortnite. Now, obviously, there's a lot of different components that both go into Call of Duty as well as Fortnite, all the way down to how the game looks itself. I don't know if that will have an effect on how many people decide to play. And maybe, you never know, maybe the following that come from the consoles that have played Call of Duty console-wise will probably be willing to go to a Battle Royale version and play that as well. It's really up to the fan base.
Yeah, it's free to play, so, like,
you know, so we'll see what happens.
I still prefer Warframe and, like, all my MMOs.
You know, we'll see how well this goes.
It can go either way.
It's definitely a 50-50 chance it could be good and it could be bad. I personally don't think they should have took this risk just based off of the sheer fanship and power that comes with Fortnite being an all free-to-play battle royale game.
It looks better, like, as far as, like, graphic-wise, it's way more cleaner and realistic. But it's like Fortnite, well, probably not. I'm pretty sure you're not building. I haven't played it yet. Once I go ahead and I probably delete a game or two or whatever the fuck the case may be, then we'll check it out. Other than that, that's for another thing. Oh, yeah. Did you know that Sony and Nintendo made a console together?
No.
That shit is so fucking weird. It is real shit, a Super Nintendo slapped on top of a PlayStation. Mm. And the name is Nintendo PlayStation. Oh my god, I hate it every fucking time. Even when I mute my shit. So, there's only 200 of these things in existence. They're all prototypes, and it was because of a failed partnership between the two.
Okay, so it says, a Nintendo PlayStation console, one of the rarest and most fabled gaming systems in history, has sold at auction, bringing in a huge sum of money. The system, which is a rare piece of history, is now significant for the sum it sold for, as well as for being an interesting cultural creation. The Heritage Auctions listing via Ares Technica shows that the console sold on Friday, March 6th for $300,000. The unspecified person who won the auction actually paid $380,000 with the buyer's premium included. The $300,000 sale price is far and away the highest ever price paid for one single gaming item. The previous recorded belonging to a sealed unopened copy of Super Mario Brothers for the NES that sold in 2019 for $100,150, according to US Gamer. The identity of the winner was not revealed. Oculus VR founder Palmer Lucky previously revealed himself to be the highest bidder at one point in the auction period, but he did not win the auction. Ultimately, instead, the console was won by Greg McLemore, who plans to open a museum. The Nintendo PlayStation was publicly unveiled at Consumer Electronics Show in 1991.
You're dropping a whole lot of money for a damn museum.
But a Nintendo, but damn it.
My bad.
But Nintendo backed out of the arrangement with Sony, and at this very same event announced it would be entering into a partnership with Philips, which could result in the infamous Philips CDI and its notorious Zelda titles. The 200 existing prototypes for the Nintendo PlayStation were said to be destroyed, and some things that should have not been forgotten were lost.
So you got one of these things stashed away somewhere? Bro, you just landed a whole fucking gold mine. You got enough for a fucking house, a car, and a new fucking whatever. Mm-hmm. And a business.
Looks like Xbox will be dropping their new Xbox Series X. And that could be coming next week. Yeah. So with the GDC 2020 postponed.
Oh, wait. All shout outs to GameSpot, because this is where I usually get my news from, along with the deals. Every now and then, to go ahead and have some type of article that informs me of the deals that I can share with you guys. Got to keep you guys woke and fresh on deals, because ain't nothing like saving. Continue, baby.
Postponed, several companies and developers are sharing what they had planned for the conference via alternative means. One such company is Microsoft, which is hosting 2 days of Mixer live streams called GameStack Live to share its GDC panels announcements, including a talk seemingly designed to provide further details about Xbox Series X. On the second day of live streams, March 18th, Microsoft will hold a panel for Xbox Series X and Project X Cloud at 11:40 a.m. Pacific time. This segment will be devoted to talking about the new chapter of gaming. Just before that, at 10:40 a.m. Pacific time, Microsoft will talk about how online series are defining the next generation of gaming, which could possibly offer insight into Xbox Series X as well. So, you know the times. If you're interested in the live stream, you know the times. Now, unfortunately, parts of US are Eastern time bound. So take that time, Pacific time, and do whatever mathematics you need to do to figure out what that means for Easter time, and tune in.
I think in like a couple of minutes, I don't know.
And that's just specific to those who are interested in strictly gaming, specifically Xbox Series X.
I guess I still like Xbox technically. It's where I met a lot of good people and had a very nice time. I never really had a PS3. And then when I got one, it wasn't what I was expecting, but that was because I was young at the time. I was like only like probably 19 and I had different type of expectations on it. I don't know. Like at the time PS3 was free, but you had to pay for the Xbox. I believe it was free. Then, like, I already had, like, I invested myself in the PlayStation Vita, and all those can, like, the PlayStation ecosystem, as I'm going to say, everything works together. Because the PS Portable, you was able to, the PlayStation Portable, you was able to use the controller. PS Vita, you was able to use as a controller. I really can't wait for them to drop another mobile console. Because it's going to be a PlayStation 4 Little Brother Edition in your hands. Now, I'm pretty sure, like, yeah, you can either do cloud gaming with it, or you can either just have the same game, you just cross by. And, oh my god, that was, like, the best thing I've ever seen PlayStation ever do. Like, I would buy a game, and it would be available on my PlayStation 3, my PlayStation 4, and my Vita. That's awesome. And they did that. They took that one right up the board. They beat everyone to that punch, and that's fucking super. But, Xbox, that's still cool. Like, I can play with my Xbox folks now as long as I have the same game as them on my PC. And usually, if the game comes out on Xbox, it comes out on the PS, it comes out on your computer. And it'll either be available in the Xbox store or it can be available in Steam. I guess you would have to buy it through the Xbox store in order to play with your friends. Not 100% sure on that. Because when I still play it, it still shows up in my games that I have played.
What I will say is if that's going to be the new way the Xbox looks, it looks pretty interesting. So,
definitely check out... People call it a dehumidifier.
Damn. Definitely check out if you haven't seen what it looks like or their prototype for the build. Definitely check it out. Oh, here are the official times and dates. I don't know if this is... this is all specific time.
It's like what?
Again,
like
so you're going to have time? To do your work if you're on the Eastern time portion to figure out what official time you need to tune in. But, as of day one, this is for the GameStack Live schedule. All these times are listed in Pacific time. Day one, which is March 17th, 2020, starts at 10 a.m. And that's going to be the welcoming to the GameStack Live live stream. 10:25 a.m., how the Coalition built the Gears 5 to be more accessible. 10:45 a.m., building accessibility into your game, the Xbox Accessibility Guidelines. By 11 a.m., the panel, there's going to be a panel, The Changing Nature of Today's Gaming Industry. At 11:35, there's also going to be a panel, How to Be Intentionally Inclusive in Your Game Design. By 12:15 p.m., What is Microsoft Game Stack? They're going to be explaining what that is. By 12:30, The Importance of Live Ops. By 1 p.m., there's going to be Rare, Building Sea of Thieves with Live Ops Mentality. By 1:35 p.m., what it means to run a game studio, a conversation with Turn 10. So we'll be talking to a group, a company named Turn 10, talking about running a game studio. By 2 p.m., they're going to be discussing maximizing impact and reach your independent games with the ID at Xbox.com. Or not, that's wrong, excuse me, at Xbox Team. Couldn't read just now. So that's the schedule for day one. Day two, which is March 18th. This one isn't going to go as long. It's going to start at 10 promptly, same as the previous day, previously on GameStack Live. So if you didn't tune into day one on time, or maybe you were a little late to the show or you didn't tune in at all, they're going to kind of go over what they went over in day one. By 10:15, they're going to be discussing how in Exile use creative iteration to drive Wastelands development. By 10:40, there's going to be a panel, how online services are defining the next generation of game development. By 11:40, Xbox X Series plus Project X Cloud, new chapter in gaming. We're going to be talking about that. By 12:40, the spark of creativity that drives the Double Fine. Don't know what that means. By 1:20, what's news in Direct X, ray tracing, mesh shading, and more. Not knowing what any of that means and just dropping knowledge. So tune in if you're interested in any of those topics. They're going to have a 2-day live stream, as I said before. The first day is going to run to about 2 p.m. Pacific time. The second day is going to be running to about 1:20 p.m. Pacific time. So if you are on the Eastern time board, or you know, whatever other time boards there are outside of Pacific time, do your mathematics, figure out what time you need to tune in to check it out.
Yeah. All right. So that leaves us for our morning. People got to get ready for work. People got stuff to do. Thank you for indulging yourself in this morning digest with the Love, Sex, and Gaming. Wake up and bounce. I'm just throwing that in. That's what I'm calling them now. What we do in the morning, they to wake up and bounce. If I'm doing it on my drive home, it's the second segment. And once we do them together at some point for an hour, that's an LSD, another episode. But these are still going in. And I'm still counting as individual episodes. They're just half the size at the time being because of the time and management that we're trying to do. Like, God, there's so much. There's just so much. There's gym. There's two jobs. There's military. There's work. There's kids. I realized this. It was cool to do in the beginning. But at least we're able to pump out 30 minutes compared to an hour. It's better than 5. So, yeah. We do appreciate you guys for tuning in and watching our content.
Yeah, don't hesitate to subscribe. I mean, we have definitely a lot of listeners. Don't get me wrong. I definitely appreciate that. But subscribe. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to hear us some more, show us some love. We try to drop this
every day.
And we really do. We try to drop some stuff every day. I know we haven't really been consistent because we had to go a bit of a hiatus. But we're trying to be more consistent, whether we do it in the morning, whether he does a segment by himself, or whether we do one together for an hour. We definitely want to put something out for you guys. So definitely subscribe. You know, just to show us that you guys are there and you're listening, and we appreciate it. And like I said, if you even want to just drop some comments or stuff you want to hear us talk about more, or stuff you feel like, you know, should be a topic of our conversation, because sometimes niggas ain't got no ideas.
Yeah, so let us know. We'll go ahead and we'll send you an invite. You can go ahead and come in and chime in and do your thing.
Yeah, we can invite you over to the podcast. You know, we can have you on here, or, you know, you can just shoot us some comments saying, hey, this is what I prefer to hear about, and we could definitely implement that into our next podcast. So
yeah,
like I said, we appreciate our listeners. Appreciate the subscribers. You guys are awesome. But don't hesitate to subscribe, and don't hesitate to show this podcast to someone else who maybe needs some more information.
Right. So we're gonna go back into streaming one of these days, whenever this probably reaching for the sky. It says prepaid internet can get just a tad bit faster. My computer can handle it. The PC can handle it. It's VR ready. It's stream ready.
Whenever we get better internet.
Yeah, we're going back
to streaming. We will definitely go back to live streaming.
And we'll do streaming and podcasts at the same
streaming,
time.
Streaming, podcasts, video game streaming. We're also, we may be dabbling into YouTube, so definitely look out for a YouTube channel.
Yeah. Alrighty.
This has been... this is Miss Bounce.
And this is Sega.
And this has been Love, Sex, and Gaming
Podcast. Love, Peace, and Chicken Grease.